Look at that clock.
I called the Planning Development and Education Committee meeting for January 9th, 2013 to order. It is 6:06 p.m. Item number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
Yes, it was posted on the weekly meeting schedule. We didn't need a class two notice required because we didn't have the public hearing portion of the meeting.
Okay. For the record, Supervisor Skolinski, Supervisor Dodge, and myself are present. Supervisor Underhill is excused, and Supervisor Chairwoman Brunig should be coming in later. Number two, feature program, Youth as Resources Program presentation.
Supervisor Decker, and we are really fortunate tonight to have three quarters of the executive board of the Youth as Resources Program here tonight. But before they do their thing, first I'd like to thank all the youth and governance members who have attended tonight. The second half of this meeting, we are going to probe into at request of the Extension Committee, procedures and policies in regards to youth and governance so that you'll be able to give us input to make modifications or changes moving forward. So hold on tight. This will go quick, and then we'll get to that stuff, and then everybody can get home and do homework or whatever people do. I was talking to Teddy, and she thought that probably the best thing to do is start with this. This is the breakdown of our youth and family programs offered through Kenosha County UW Extension. And we thought we'd start with this because a lot of times out there, people get YAR and YIG mixed up. And so to make sure everybody's on the right page, later on tonight, we're gonna spend our time talking about youth and governance. But for the first part, we're gonna start here with the Youth as Resources program. Everybody good with that? Complete. You guys all know. If you have a question, yeah. So, Kenosha County Youth as Resources Program. It's a joint program between, obviously, UW Extension, the county, and the United Way. I started my position in 2003, and so when I got here and I was looking in my inbox on my desk, actually there was this report from the Search Institute, a 2002 study that was done where they basically surveyed about 7,000. I'm like, you couldn't find one more young person, but 6,999 Kenosha County youth. And from that survey, there were two things that really popped out to me. Number one, about 22% of the youth perceived that their communities didn't value them, or 22% of the youth perceived that their communities actually valued them. Which you flip that around, that means a lot of youth were feeling like their community didn't value them. The second part is 24% believe that youth were given useful roles in the community, which means that three quarters of youth were felt they weren't given useful roles in the community. So anyway, so that started this conversation about, is there anything we can do to help move that number higher? And that led us in 2005 into a partnership with United Way. To start this thing called the Youth as Resources Program. And actually, just for the YIG members in the room, the Youth as Resources Board, the original officers on that board, served on the advisory committee for the Youth and Governance Program. So that is where a lot of the youth voice came in that process, was right from YAR. YAR is a grant-giving program, which basically funds youth-led, youth-designed service projects right here in Kenosha County. That's their primary function. The board, which we have the officers of the board here tonight, and I will pass around their roster because the board is not huge, but you will see some names and some faces and those types of things. But they meet during the school year once a month, and they meet in the county board. They used to meet in the county board chambers, and then a few years ago, there was a vote on the board to move back down to the second floor. And you will notice in the picture, that is the finance committee meeting room on the second floor. They do three things. They discuss community issues, they provide grants to youth groups, and they plan their own community service projects. In addition, the youth board members hopefully will develop some leadership skills and other skills that they can take with them once they're off the board. These are the results of the last 8 years on the YAR board and what they've done. Basically, they've granted 86 grants close to $31,000 and to about 3,200 youth participants. That $30,920, most of that money comes from the United Way. There is a small portion of that funding that came from the Kenosha Community Foundation. Actually, the foundation was instrumental in kicking off the program. They gave us some seed money to get the ball rolling. But the rest of that money has come primarily from the United Way. After groups are done, and Sarah's going to share some of these later on, after groups are done doing their service projects, they get the money, they do the service project, we ask them to turn in a reflection journal so we can see the value of those service projects here in the county. The other thing we do is we do pre-post-post evaluations on all, just like in YIG, we also do it with the YAR board to see what have you gained from the experience. So a couple of quantitative numbers I'd like to just show all of you. When we look at change, like where were you at when you started the program, where are you at when you leave the program, we want to see some growth. And so one unit of growth is change. Two or more units of growth is significant change or a significant impact. So the one that really pops for me is, if you see the second one here, I feel a strong connection to Kenosha County. Notice 62% of the YAR board felt a strong change, which means to me that they feel much more connected to Kenosha County. Really important, especially when you look at out-migration patterns and things like that, the stronger connections we can make with young people, the more likely they will be to go get a great education and come back here. And we see the same types of statistics from the YIG program as well. So, the other thing is, of course, I am a resource. Go right at it. And most all youth, after they're done serving on the board, feel that they are a resource to them. So that's quantitative evaluation. We also do qualitative. We look for quotes. And this is Olivia Westhoff. She served on the YAR board for 5 years. And basically her quote, I like the second part of it. I now have advanced knowledge of the needs of Kenosha County community and how to address those needs. I am confident in my leadership skills and my ability to make a difference. And our hope is that not only will people learn these skills serving on the board and making an impact, but then take those skills somewhere else in life. And we, our hope is that someday to do follow-up surveys, not only with the YAR program, but also with the YIG program, to see if indeed you are able to take those skills and apply them somewhere else. And of course, the pledge. By the way, this pledge was written by youth members on the YAR board. And it's basically, as a member of Kenosha County Youth as Resources, I will support my community by giving back, transform myself by building knowledge and skills, and commit myself to the idea that youth can be leaders. I am a resource. And this board starts every meeting with that pledge. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nate, who is the Vice President of Kenosha County Youth as Resources. And he and his colleagues will take us through a mock YAR board meeting so you can get a real hands-on experience of what this board actually does.
Are they going to introduce themselves too, John?
Absolutely. Okay. They're going to introduce themselves. They're very good at that kind of thing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nate McKeon. I'm the Vice President of the YAR Board, and today I'll be filling in as President, too.
Hi, I'm Sarah Dugan, and I'm the Secretary of the YAR Board.
Hello, I'm Keely Dugan, and I'm the Treasurer.
All right. I call this meeting to order. Love doing that. So, I already passed out all the sheets to you guys. We usually start all our meetings. We have youth groups come in. You know, it varies how many come in. This last October.
Hi, my name is Benjamin.
Sorry.
And this is my friend.
This is the October meeting. We had 3 groups come in. And what they do, they pitch us, you know, their ideas on these sheets of their little service projects, you know, how they're going to make a difference. And then they present them to us, you know, give us how much money it costs, how much money they want from us, what the difference in the community, you know, what they're going to do for the community. And we, you know, listen to them, ask them questions, they give us answers, and then we vote on how much money to give them. We have a discussion before we vote, what we like, what we didn't like, what we thought, you know, this could help and everything. And so we're just going to take you guys through that right now. Go ahead.
And they should be looking at which?
The first one is the yellow sheet. It's
yellow
Frank Neighborhood Project and Director Assistance Program.
By the way, they get 3 minutes, and you'll notice in this first video that the Yard Board will cut them off if they go over their 3 minutes. So they really.
My name is Benjamin Hay, and this is my friend and classmate, Isabella Rick. We're in the sixth grade at All Saints Catholic School. Our project is the Frank Neighborhood Breakfast and Roost Assistance Program. This program serves the Frank Neighborhood community. Every other Saturday, Frank Elementary School opens up their gym and other surrounding rooms to the public or anybody else who would like to come there. During these 3 hours, 9 to noon, these children have a warm, safe environment to interact and play with others and make new friends. This project benefits children and families of the Frank Neighborhood community. We have breakfast, play games, have arts and crafts, watch movies, and play basketball. All Saints Catholic School students volunteer all year round to help the children and the family of Frank Neighborhood community. We donate books, we donate shirts, clothes, uniforms for their school, and anything else that we might need to give to them. Isabella and I have been volunteering for several years, and we have made many friends. 2 years ago, three brothers, Tahim, Emil, and Travis, were living in my neighborhood in a foster care home. We became great friends very quickly. When they had to move back with their mother, we were able to stay in touch with them through breakfast and hoops. I know this program has served them well because their manners have improved greatly, and I know that at least get one hot, healthy meal every weekend.
Hoops and breakfast is just part of the Frank Neighborhood Project. The purpose of this project is to improve the lives of those living in the Frank Neighborhood. The Frank Neighborhood Project is already starting to impact the neighborhood's behavior. For example, last year, the Sheriff's Office released statistics that show that the program is having an impact on the neighborhood. The report showed a drop in the number of police calls that were being made to the Frank area. From 2007 to 2011, there was a reduction of 541 calls, which is 25.5%. It's a big improvement. Frank Neighborhood is part of the less fortunate community in corruption. The breakfast that we provide may be the only hot meal some children get all the time. 125 people were served at just one session of hoops last month, which shows that more and more people are starting to depend on it. Though Ben and I are mainstream coordinators, all the students help out. Many ways to help out, and each class is assigned weekend when they can come and help out. But since not everyone's available on weekends, we also have other ways. We do collections. We had a...
Sorry, we're going to just have a few minutes.
Just move on to the next one.
Right, so after the board gets done hearing their 3-minute presentation, and as you can see, it doesn't matter the age of the presenter. Keely does signs so they know how much time they have, but when it hits stop, that's it. And then there's 2 minutes where the board gets to ask questions if they so choose. They don't have to. A lot of times they do, a lot of times they don't. So, next one is what?
Next one, you have your green sheets, looking at dimensions.
All the food that was wasted could have gone to the millions of starving children in poverty around the world. Hello, my name is Natalie Lowell. I am in 7th grade and I attend Dimensions of Learning Academy. I am a Girl Scout trying to accomplish my silver award by creating a composting system at my school. I thought of the idea when I realized that many children were wasting lots of food at lunch. And I thought to myself, they shouldn't be wasting all this food. It's a waste of money and food should be done. And for my project, the compost bin is very expensive. It's about $600 for the compost bin itself. And I will also need smaller bins, so when children are finished with their lunches, they can put the actual waste in the smaller bins. And you'll have to go outside to the compost bin. And I will most likely need other supplies to do this. And Since I only have this year and next year left to my school, I will have to develop a program where kids will make sure that the waste gets put in the smaller bins and not the trash, and that they can, so you have to rotate the compost bins and to distribute the soil to parents at school or gardening stores. And I'm very excited for this project and hope to see it come true. And if I was awarded this grant, it would help this project. It would be less difficult. And every penny counts. This is a lot of money, and I can't raise $700 by selling candy bars. And so I believe every penny counts. I have experience fundraising, but I will need some help. And recycling and composting prevented 85 million tons of waste from being disposed in 2010. Imagine if every school in the United States had a composting system. We can achieve that goal one school at a time. Thank you so much for your time. Are there any questions?
Are you going to buy a
Yes.
Are you going to meet? Are you going to
buy a I'm going to buy a
Please do not.
I'm going to buy a
Have you already researched what compost bin you can buy?
There are several different bins that I've been looking at, and they're all very expensive. They're about this big, and I don't know what brand it is, but it's a good one.
Do you know where, like, the food that would normally be wasted and where it's going to go after you put it in the compost bin?
Yeah, it'll be rotated and it'll have, like, nice fresh soil. And what I've planned is that we could package it up already and just give it out to parents at my school, or if there's, like, gardening stores I know around Kenosha, we could give those donations.
All right.
Any other questions?
I was going to just keep it at one school
or are
Maybe eventually when I get older, but for right now, for my silver award, I'm just doing it in my school. All right, well, thank you.
All right, thank you. Next one. All right. Any other questions? All right, thanks so much. Next up, we have Seth Kapshinsky with Tie Away the Cold.
I'm part of that. My name is Adrian Polonsky, and he is part of our 4-H and Colleagues officers. I'm actually the president of my 4-H club. For those of you who don't know, 4-H is also a program sponsored by UW Extension. And part of our pledge is to use our hands for a larger service. And so for the past 3 years, our officers, to fulfill part of our pledge with younger members of our club, have worked together to create a service project that we can all do, from the kids in first grade all the way to our parents that help with the club. And we have come to the yard for the last 3 years, and the project that we have found works the best is buying yards of waste material. And the older members cut the strips. I'm sure you guys have all seen them, a lot of sports news for them. And the kids are able to tie blankets, and then we've been donating them to local shelters in the county of Kenosha. And we have received many thank you letters from these shelters when we have given them. And they appreciate them a lot, especially during the cooler months of the year, because it's kind of hard. And homelessness is a big issue in our county. And so it's a way that we are helping give back to our community with everybody working together as a group. Any questions?
How many years have you guys been doing this?
Yeah. This is our third year.
Anything else? No?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much. All right. That was the last of them. And as you guys saw, we have little, you know, we asked them questions. You got a little taste of that. I think I left the camera on. Good.
I was looking at these three projects. What I don't understand is they all are asking for 12 gallons of latex paint and they're all asking for transportation. And how is that related?
Those are examples.
Huh?
Those are examples on forms.
Oh. Examples, okay.
Yeah. It does seem like, wow.
Yeah, those are just examples. So.
Good example.
It would be a little strange if every single group needed that.
To paint the town.
But then, so following our questions, we ask, you know, we thank the groups, and then we ask them, you know, just to head out, they can leave. And we have a board discussion, and we go, you know, project by project. We discuss, you know, pros, cons, what we like, don't like, and how much money we want to grant to each group. And so I guess we can do that right now, since you guys saw the presentations. If any of you guys have anything, you know, you'd like to say, we can, I guess, start with the first one. The yellow sheets, Frank Neighborhood Project. If you guys have anything that you want to discuss about it, what you like, what you don't like.
I just have a question. How much money do we have to give away? I see how much they're asking for, but how do I know how much money is available to give?
We had $1,380 for that.
For this granting period, we have $1,380.
Okay. And just to clarify the logistics of what that means, there are $6,000 allocated from the United Way for YAR each year. There are four granting meetings. So at the first granting meeting, $1,500 is the max, but what the treasurer does is she or he adds up the max amount for each of the grants, and in this case, when you add up what the three groups are asking for, the max that this board could grant that night is $1,380. The max that they could ever offer at that first granting meeting would be $1,500, regardless of how many grants came.
Okay, so really we have $1,500, but they've only requested a total of $1,300 mm-hmm. because of that request given. Okay.
On average, how many do you have per quarter? It's quarterly, correct?
Yeah.
How many do you have per quarter? Does it
varies. There's like certain seasons, you know, spring is kind of big, but usually around like five. Like this is kind of a usual amount.
Okay,
four
so
or five.
Anywhere from one to five, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pros and cons of the yellow sheet. We really like that it incorporated a lot of people in their community. That was a big pull for us. We always look at the number of youth that participate or will benefit.
Also, another thing I loved, I don't know if I remember talking about it at our last meeting, about the Frank Neighborhood Project, was you heard the boy mention in his presentation, you know, he had a personal experience with kids who go and attend the Frank, you know, the neighborhood, they get breakfast, they play basketball together, and so he knows that it really helps out these kids because he knows them personally, and that just, I don't know, that meant a lot to me because, you know, it's doing a great thing to kids like that. All right.
So did you,
yes.
I mean, just kind of aside here, maybe we could feed them breakfast and then have them paint. Because
I just want to say another observation that I had. It took me a while before I figured out that the two youth who were presenting, and I'm sure they were here, I'd see this, they're from a different school. So this would be one school working to assist another school, and I don't even know if they're in the same neighborhood. That's how ignorant I would be about the location. But I think that's a real bonus, is that we've got youth from one school willing to work in a neighborhood and help another school.
So to move the whole process along, what would happen is the president or vice president would walk through each grant, pros, cons, things you like, things you didn't like, and honestly, if nobody says anything, we just move on and go through each of the grants. We get to a point, though, unlike... So a lot of that is very similar to boards you have been involved with, but then we get to this very individualized voting experience. So I guess we could probably just fast forward, maybe, if you guys are cool with that.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Keeley, and she's going to explain how the YAR board votes.
Okay, so each project gets a grid sheet that looks like this, and each sticker represents $10. So we cut up the amount, and we distribute it throughout the members. And then each member, from youngest to oldest, gets to come up and put stickers on each of the things. And there is a bank one if you feel like you would like to go back to the bank if you don't feel like one deserves it. And then each must receive at least $100, and there's a maximum of $500, but obviously some projects don't ask for $500. That's why $1,380 is the max amount, because one of the groups asked for $380.
So if you want to distribute the dots, I'll put these on the table, and I'm going to mark the max, because sometimes people like to go over the max.
So just to clarify, we should be thinking about how much we want to award each of these projects.
Yes.
We're
going
to get to vote.
$10 a piece.
Yeah, yeah, $10 a piece.
So basically I get $100 to spend.
You got it.
$100 on one project or $30, $30, and $40 or whatever.
Or you can give done to any of the projects.
Okay.
Keep it for next meeting.
Okay.
It's your call.
And we will put these voting sheets over at this table. And we will not, normally we know who's the youngest to the oldest, but we will let everyone kind of just get up and go and vote. A couple of things while you're voting, and you can come on up here and put your stickers on the sheets, and please go in order. So it goes 10, 20, 30, some people like to jump ahead. Go in order as you see it. Some people ask about why do we vote with dots? Why do we do all this? It seems very cumbersome. Early on in YAR, a couple things happened, and please feel free to get up and vote while I'm rambling.
Let the record show that Supervisor Brudig is here.
You're voting. So come on over here. Keely's going to come over and help you vote.
Yeah.
So she can explain it while you go over there. Why we vote with dots, early on we used to do the motion, the second, and do that, and it really was cumbersome. And we noticed that the youngest YAR board members just kind of tuned out. So this way, because we vote youngest to oldest, the youngest YAR board members really have to pay attention to how much people are asking for and which projects they like. And then we count on the adult advisors who also get the vote on YAR to provide wisdom. So if there is a grant that the adults felt was pretty good and it didn't get enough funding, the adults can make up some of that funding.
Did you notice also in what other people voted affected what the younger people voted? Possibly?
No, not anymore because
beforehand.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like whatever the adults were saying, the youth would just go along with it. And now the youth are really forced to think about where am I going to put my money? How am I going to divide my resources? And the bank option actually was a suggestion from one of the early YAR board members, a youth member, who was very fiscally conservative. And at one meeting, she's just like, you know, I don't like any of these. And she's like, I'm going to take my money and put it in the bank. And we're like, awesome. Let's come up with a sheet and you can just bank. So we keep track of how much money is banked each year as well. Not that it's a motivation, but the YAR board is really responsible with the funds that United Way has entrusted to them. So
if you have banked money, do you carry that over for the next time? Let's say one time you only have 3 projects, and then the next time you have 5. Can you use that banked money?
Yes, it carries meeting to meeting. Yeah. And at the end of the year, it goes back and can come back. But each year, we always start with 6,000. So if we only allocated 5,000, the next year won't be 7. We always reset the 6.
Okay.
And then what United Way has done is set up an account over at Chase for us. So YAR has a like once those funds are allocated from the United Way, they are dedicated to the program. They're not in the general fund anymore, the United Way.
You, the treasurer, writes the checks and everything like that, or in theory.
Do you want to explain how that works? No. So Keely's brand new treasurer. So here's what happens. Keely will tally up the totals from that night, and then Keely will email Donna Zerobi at our office. Donna Zerobi, our support staff member, will generate 2 things. Contracts for the youth, because we need them to sign a contract for the money that they're going to get, and also a check request, and that gets emailed to the United Way, and then the United Way actually sends those check requests over to Chase, and so we get a phone call that says your checks are ready to be picked up.
Oh, okay.
So we're not actually, Teddy is on the account just from an oversight perspective, but we don't actually write any of the checks. We just pick them up and mail them.
And so when you have funds left over, you roll from 2012 to 2013. Is that, let's see, $1,000, is that available to be spent on during the next year? Or are you using it for other purposes?
No, it's all those monies are grant funds. So eventually they will be used. But
by your guys.
Yes. Just by YAR. Okay. Yes. And they are just for grant funds. They are not allocated for operation costs, staff costs, mailing costs, none of that. This is all grant money.
That's his.
One's a bank.
Oh.
So, there's nothing I can see.
So we could do the county budget like this.
Yes.
Every supervisor gets so much money.
Way better.
And then just start putting dots and
vote youngest to oldest.
Youngest to oldest. I don't know how that would go over, but number of years on the board? I don't know. You mix it up a lot.
Mike.
It was like they were here giving the presentation.
Very cool.
John's
just excited because he doesn't have any time constraints to speak tonight.
I actually mentioned that to the staff. I'm like, wow, I have the whole agenda. And
do you see that his colleagues did not even come? They said, do we even need to come if John's got the whole enchilada?
And Audrey's like, come on. I know this guy can ramble on forever. I got to get out of here. Yeah, we'll get moving. If I can get the internet up, which is. Decided, and then we probably need a motion in a second.
Are you giving? Did you give out 138 dots?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So for the Frank Neighborhood Project, received all $500, and Tie Away the Cold ended up at $300. The bank is at $130, and Composting at Dimensions received $240. It was interesting because this is like the data sheets from our meeting, and we gave the Frank Neighborhood Project $500. The bank, we did 100 instead of 130. Composting at Dimensions received 400, and Tie Away the Cold received 380.
So the last official action, Nate would ask for a motion from someone on the YAR board to approve the funds as allocated on the sheets.
Would anyone like to move to approve the funds?
Sure.
Second.
There we go.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Somebody should.
And you've all made it through your first YAR meeting. That's how the money is allocated to the program.
I abstain.
How are you guys on the board? How did you guys get to be on the YAR board?
I first was interested because I started a community service project myself, so I received granting from them, and then the following year I was interested in serving on the board, so I applied.
How did you find out about applying for it?
My mom actually has like a PhD in granting stuff. I'm not sure what her PhD is actually in, so she was very interested in that, and she researched it within our community. So when I expressed interest in starting the community service, she suggested I apply for a grant.
My guidance counselor, I think my sophomore year, actually gave me something, and it was for YIG, and then I looked more into YIG, and then I found out about YAR. So then
and what school did you go to?
St. Joe's.
And what school did you go to?
Highest 11th in Milwaukee.
Okay.
My sister told me how amazing it was, and she wanted me to join, so I'm like, why not? So I applied.
Why not?
So Supervisor Decker asked a great question, and I have the website up right now. So if you search Google, whatever, Kenosha County YAR, Y-A-R, you will come to this site. couple of things that are on here I just want to point out. First of all, we partnered, this board partnered with Leadership Kenosha last year, and they came up with service opportunities in Kenosha County. So there are 26 pages of service opportunities listed on our website that young people can go out and do, and I'll just pull this up real quickly. So you can see, if a youth group is looking for a service project, they're listed right here. Contact information, what to do, those types of things. And actually, Nate used this very thing to identify the board's service project for the winter, right?
Yep.
And that was what?
It was at First Step Services. We cooked dinner and served it to homeless people in like Kenosha. They just come in and they eat and serve them dinner. It's a great experience.
So if you know of a youth group or an Eagle Scout or a Girl Scout looking for a service opportunity, it's a great place to just direct them, even if they're not looking for money. Next thing is the grant information itself. You see how easy the grant is. It's two pages, and it's designed to be easy on purpose so young people, especially really young people, can sit down with a parent or a teacher and fill this thing out. We also always meet in the county administration building, so we keep that very consistent so people know. Third Tuesday, 5 o'clock, boom, there we are, grant money. And the last thing gets to the question of how to get involved. We have the application right online, so if anybody wants to be a board member, the application's right here. It's two pages. It's due April 1st. What happens with those applications is the seniors on the YAR board, and we have two right here, will serve on the interview team, and they have criteria and questions they will ask to select their successors because they know what goes into the program. So if you know of any young people who might be interested in granting monies to other youth groups, 9th grade through 12th grade, and the application's right online. A couple more things that I wanted to just show you. The schedule's on there, the board manual's on here. All the annual reports, so each year, all the funds that have been granted, we put it into an annual report so you can see how the money's been allocated, which groups got which money. We also have now added the evaluation data from the youth that actually serve on the board. That's on there as well. And then finally, an endowment fund. A few years ago, a former supervisor passed away and left the extension office a little bit of money, and we were looking for what to do with that money. So we invested it with the Kenosha Community Foundation. And actually, Teddy works very closely with the endowment fund. And the goal is, there's not much money in the fund now, probably what, $3,000 to $4,000 maybe? But the hope is that that fund will grow over time, and eventually, if the United Way decides other priorities for their funding, that there'd be a safety net to continue to grant monies to youth groups to do service projects in the county. So we're trying to be really proactive with the funding side and just say, let's get ahead of the curve. And the board actually does help and raise money too, and they did Culver's last month, right?
So that's that. Your question.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered having meetings out here at the Kenosha Center, only to encourage maybe more participation from the western half of the county? That's a long ways down, way downtown from the west. So I just was curious about that. Have you seen a lot of participation out of the western half?
A lot of president.
President from West Village.
He goes to Central.
Okay.
But that's the only person I know.
Excellent point. Yes, it was discussed when YAR first started. There was some discussion from some of the YAR board members, and they were from the western part of the county, which I find interesting. And they said, kids from the western part of the county know they have to drive everywhere.
No, it's true.
They know. It's like, hey, we have to have a vehicle, and we have figured out a way to get places. The thought to move it downtown was twofold. Number one, let's make sure that YAR is going to be accessible to all youth. So city youth that don't have access to vehicles, they can get on the bus line and get there. Number two is this connection to county government. The YAR board was so impressed, and at the time they met in the chambers, that it was the first time that youth actually showed up in the chambers on a regular basis, and most people are like, what is this? I don't even know this existed, so a connection to county government was the
Then you talked about the new application here. Obviously, not everybody from the board is here today, correct? Just a few.
Yeah.
Will some of them automatically move in as you guys graduate and move on? It won't be a new one. It will be someone that's been on the board a year or two or three and just kind of progress into that.
Yeah.
Like your sister.
Yeah.
Unless, apparently you can be on this board as long as your last name's Dugan.
That is one of the criteria.
Yes. That's good. You bring your brother in next? No. So that's kind of the succession, if you will.
Yeah, it's hard when seniors are leaving, or if other people just have to leave for any reason, then we just fill those empty spots.
So we'll have 3 spots open cleaning up this year.
Okay. You and then for us?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I see a couple other young individuals. Are you guys on the board too then for?
No, they're here.
These are Yig members.
Ah, Yigs, okay.
Yigs and Yars.
Yigs and Yars, okay. We're catching up.
Right. The Yar board used to be much bigger, up to 25. And what we found is as we grew that number so large, that the commitment level, because it's like, I don't need to show up because, you know, somebody else will show up. And so what we found now is by having a smaller board, we have a very committed board. And so that... that's one way. The other thing is that people can participate in the R by writing a grant. And so we have a double option for participation.
Yeah. John, what's the adult to youth ratio again?
There are 4 adults and 8 youth on that board, and no adults can serve in any office or position. Only the youth can.
Cool. And one other thing, how your experience with it, because now you guys have been on it for a couple, 3 years now. Have you been able to correlate it into local government, see how things operate, or granting, or can you give you a little bit of background on your experiences?
It was interesting because this was the first experience I had with Robert's Rule of Parliament.
It's okay, I'm learning them too.
Yeah, and it was really helpful for me because I went to Badger Girls State this summer, and I knew what they were talking about, where a lot of the girls didn't. So that's been a real benefit to me.
That's great.
Actually, I was going to say the exact same thing, going to Badger Boys this summer. It helped me out a lot with parliamentary procedures and everything like that. And it's also just given me a sense of, just how big of an impact we have. I mean, I didn't really know that any of this existed or people did any of this stuff to make things, you know, work, make things happen in the community, and now I do know. So.
No, it's great. I can guarantee you when I was 11th grade, I wouldn't worry about stuff like this. Okay, thank you.
You meet every month?
Yes.
But you only grant quarterly. What do you do the other months?
We plan our service project because we do 2 service projects throughout the year. And then?
Discuss anything else. Usually we'll have a meeting after the service projects discussing, you know, what we thought went well, what we thought, you know, what we could have changed, you know, for next year. Or a meeting after a grant meeting discussing also, you know, what we can change for next year. We're always just trying to see if there are any changes can be made or if we want to keep things the same.
And Supervisor, I pulled up the schedule. They actually have 2 granting meetings in the fall and 2 in the spring. So it's not necessarily quarterly.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It's like it turns out to be like two quarters, but it's 2 granting meetings within each quarter. So they do a training, they do 2 granting meetings, they do their service project, and then they come back, do some more training, do 2 more granting meetings, and do a service project. And last year's board was so, open to the idea that they made one of their service meetings a granting meeting, so they actually had 3 granting meetings in the spring. So they'll be open to that, too. If youth groups say, hey, we need some money, the board is open to granting that money if they have some available.
So what was your service project last year?
Last year in the winter, we worked with a woman named Jo Nguyen. She used to be a homeless woman living in Kenosha. She turned her life around, and now she's
walking in my shoes.
Yeah, walking in my shoes. And so we got, you know, clothes, little Christmas gifts, coats, and everything. Got all that together, put them in, you know, little packages, and then went to an event that she was actually hosting, and distributed them to the, you know, local homeless. And then in the spring, we went to Brookside Nursing Home and played some bingo. So that was fun.
And that would be the YAR report.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
And you guys are dismissed, so.
Or you can choose to stay.
And if you want to stay and hang out, let's go.
Thanks for doing a great job. That was a great example. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Immediately mark your button.
Perfect.
I'll pick it up. By the way, if you're interested, we have program booklets. I'll leave them over on this table. If you want to take a look after the meeting, that's fine.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Great meeting.
You have to listen to them talk, but they won't listen to us.
I can vouch for the neighborhood project because that was my sister and her friend doing it. And I'm actually involved via family. They come in, we all go together and do it as a family. And so what he was able to use the money for is we bought all these supplies needed to make gingerbread cookies, and we made 90 gingerbread cookies, bought 3 tubs of frosting, and then got bags of candy, and we like separated the bags of candy, and we gave each kid a little bag of candy, a cookie, and a cup full of frosting. They were able to decorate a gingerbread as like a Christmas activity or something to do, and they got a kick out of that, and that was some of the fun that they used. So that's kind of some of the stuff we do, and it gives the kids an activity and something to do.
Do you do that on the weekends or just Saturdays or Sundays?
It's Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, gotcha. Okay. That's right.
My network here.
Yes.
You have to make sure the password. Oh, I do. It's this thing. Okay, I sent to you the documents of the youth and governance policies, and I will send a couple of extra copies around for the YIG members who are here, who may not have had a chance to see. Anyone else need a copy? I made a few of them. Actually, the piece that I didn't put on the back, and I should have done that, so let me bring these over, is, as John and I were chatting earlier, the backside is actual operational guidelines too. So there are the policies, and those are those that were actually, all of them have been reviewed and approved by previous extension committees. But then we have these operating guidelines. So let's look at the policies first and sort of walk through where you might have questions or where you think they may or may not need to be tweaked. But this is currently what we're operating under now. Okay, so a policy is participation. A student has to be in 10th or 11th grade at the time of their application and appointment. When they are not able to attend a meeting, they should contact their mentors. Okay. So mentors should contact the extension committee chairperson regarding any attendance concern of youth committee members. So if any of you are not attending your meeting, your mentor will contact Chairman Brunig and share that concern and say, we've got an attendance concern happening. We then hope that the next step would be that the mentor would be talking with that youth member and asking questions and trying to figure out, sort of unraveling what it is that's keeping you from attending the meetings and see if they can't do some problem solving. The application process occurs when a youth has been nominated, as you all know. You fill out the written application. Those applications come into our office. We screen them to select approximately 25 applications to be interviewed by the Extension Committee. That becomes a very difficult process. We actually have a rating sheet that we use to make the decision based upon, help me, John, commitment. There's like 3 or 4 categories. You can pull it up. You're right there.
If I can, I will.
Yeah. That screening form. So once we review the applications, we select those 25 youth to be interviewed. The committee then, as you know, will then participate in that process. Some of you have done it before. As I'm moving on, the youth representation. So one policy we've created is in an effort to strive for representation of the entire county youth population, in keeping with parity, selection of youth are based upon equal opportunity. So we have used the parameter of looking across all high schools so that every high school has at least one youth represented. We start there. We then look at our score sheet. Well, we start looking at our score sheets, but then we go down and say if we don't, we have to make sure one high school has always got a youth represented, and then we look at the remaining scores and start to go across the spectrum to include youth that have been nominated by, I'll say, other sources, meaning it didn't come from a school. It could be a church pastor. It could be a neighbor. It could be a grandmother. It could be a parent. It could be a homeschool youth as well. So there's that other sort of generic, doesn't fit under the school quality. There's the screening, the application screening. And my eyes are so bad, John.
Basically, we're looking for four things in the screening. Can express him or herself clearly. And that is, remember, that's based on the written application. So do you have written communication skills? Number two is well-rounded. So we look at a variety of activities, right? Not that you're just completely committed to one thing, but there are a variety of activities that you're engaged with. Displays leadership abilities and skills. So is there evidence that this person is going to be able to contribute? And as we know, some of these meetings are a little intimidating, especially when you first start. So can they walk in the door and will they have some background? And then finally, indicate a willingness to learn and experience new things. Now that one, I'll admit, that one's a little bit of a challenge. But the point of that, I think, is to say this is a learning opportunity. So if you're looking to just get something to put on your college application, that may not be the best motivator for this particular program because it's not only a giving, but it's a learning. So, and those are the four things that Teddy and I look at when we screen down, and I believe it was 42 last year, and had to get it down to 27. So our screening is primarily for this committee because interview, and I know we have a few supervisors who have served on an interview, interviews are long enough to go from 27 down to 14 youth that can serve. And so we're just continually trying to get that number down.
And then the policy that was actually most recently created in March of 2010 as a result of youth members themselves. The YIG members had a discussion about the concern of other youth members not making the commitments to the meetings and feeling as if, and this came from youth who perhaps in a session where I'm the second youth member on the committee and I'm the only one attending, the other person never comes, but I know there are 40 other kids who want to be in that seat and they're not here. So they proposed to the extension committee at that time that we should take an attendance in November, and at that point in time, YIG members should have attended at least 50% of their meetings. If they have not, they'd be asked to step down. You all know what happens as a result of that. Okay. So with that policy, there aren't many policies. It's very short, and the first four came up as a result of us creating the program. The fifth one came up as a result of you saying we need to have an attendance policy. So,
well, it does say asked and not told. So there is you can ask someone to step down, and if they believe that they, want to fight for it. It's not that it's in our policy that they're required. So,
you're right. You're absolutely right, Super. I'm trying to think in the previous years where we have actually implemented this policy. That it came to the committee as it would have that evening, and the committee would have voted to recommend to the chairman of the board to replace that youth and governance member with the alternate. So that's actually, I believe, what was on our agenda for that evening. Trevor made the decision to attend to represent himself. So yes, I mean that decision would be made by the extension committee members at that November meeting. So that a youth, if that decision was to have that alternate take that person's place.
So once again, I think we discussed this last meeting in YIG members. It was when I sat in the YIG members at that time proposed it. It was never seen as a punishment. It wasn't seen to punish that YIG member who didn't make their meetings. That wasn't the focus. The focus was, like Teddy had mentioned earlier, all the youth that did not get into the program, if a YIG member isn't showing up, regardless of the reason, because YIG members always have good reasons because they're super awesome, busy people, But we need to provide opportunities for other youth. And that was really why the policy was put in. And the verbiage was selected on purpose because, as we all know, even the committee doesn't have the authority to pull anyone off a committee. Only the chairman or chairwoman of the county board can do that. But to be asked, and quite honestly, in the past, when we've asked, that youth member has resigned. It has never been an issue of an appeal. So this year's process, really good for the program, I think. Can a youth member appeal? Sure, we live in a democracy.
So last year, when the Human Services Committee, I had a gentleman that he resigned once you talked to him. Is that what actually happened?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just curious for youth and governance members, what your thoughts are on all that.
I am with Trevor on the judicial law branch, and we've missed the exact same amount of meetings, yet he was the one called.
According to the records of the committee, that is not.
Because one of which we actually brought up to the board, because there was a mailing problem. Because we got our agendas with all the information the day of, and I get my mail really late, so it was at like 7, and the meeting started at 6. And it was the same thing for Trevor. So we discussed that.
But I just want to be clear for the record
that
the attendance records I obtain from the staff member of that department. So I asked them to review the minutes of their meetings, report to me the attendance records of youth and governance members. Those were the numbers I reported. They were not the same. I just need to be clear about that. So however the records are kept, I just need
somebody
to be clear.
Somebody may have made an error.
Somebody could have made a mistake.
Yes.
That's another reason why you all should be reading the minutes of the meeting. And if you are not counted as being present in that meeting, you need to be letting someone know. Because that's the official record. Trust me, memories, especially adults, they aren't that great, okay? So they're going to go by what the record says. So, I mean, not that we want to rehash that, but I just need to be clear that that's how we collect that information through the individuals in that staff for that department.
Well, thank you for clarifying, because it was really confusing. Because I was getting ready with him, like, all right, I'm going to defend myself because I had, like, the mailing problem, and then I had this, and then I had that, and then I didn't have to do anything, and I was just trying to help him with it.
Well, Trevor brought that up at the meeting, and Teddy said the same thing. You guys may say that you missed the same meetings, but that's not what the official record is, and that's why you got a pass, and he didn't because of what the record was. And he did bring up the whole mailing issue, and that is the main reason I voted to keep him on, and others too, because we on the county board have had that issue also, where we don't get our packets till the day of, or don't even get it in time. And so we understand Trevor's plight when he said that he didn't even know about the meeting. We completely understood that was out of his control.
Well, not on planning, development, and education extension. We don't have that problem anymore. Because we get it all electronically now.
Right.
So, Emily, Stephanie, I'm just curious. The policy in general, and that's what this group can decide. I mean, it's their policy. The 50% by November. How do you all feel about that particular policy? Good policy? Bad policy? Too rigid? Not rigid enough? I'm just curious to what you all think about that policy.
I think it's a pretty good policy. I think that's what I think of it. I mean,
yeah, I agree with them. Because 50% is not like you're demanding all of the person's time. It's like once a month meetings generally, so I don't know. I feel like it's not that demanding. It's
good. It does give a little leeway for the person who can't make a meeting or a commitment comes up. Because I remember I was in Florida for one of the meetings. And then my plane got canceled because it was too warm. Why?
I don't know what that means.
But it does, there is an appeal process. It's not like you're kicked off immediately. You can make your case. So I think it's a good policy because for any board that you serve on, you need to make sure that you are committed to it.
I like it because
some kids might get on this and they're like, this isn't what I thought it is, but they're too scared to tell somebody, I don't want to step down. And so if they're not going and somebody else will be taking the spot, and maybe if somebody comes in and says, hey, you've come to a lot of these, or do you still like this? Then they might have the courage to say, yeah, it's not what I thought it was, I think I'll resign. Whereas if they were just left up to their own, they might just like tough it out and try and keep on the board, like giving them that option.
Or not show up.
I personally agree, because even if you miss two meetings, like which are the summer ones, because I was on vacation for a month, it still gives you time to make it up during the fall and pre-winter. So mathematically, it makes sense.
Question for the youth, though. When you are applying for these positions, you're in, let's say you're in ninth grade, heading into your sophomore year of high school, right?
You have to be a sophomore.
That's right, sophomore going into junior year. At the time that you're applying for this position, do you actually know what kind of activities you're going to have the following fall? Because I've always been a little concerned about, they've got all this stuff listed from the present year. You're going into a new school year, and all of a sudden you find out that you are just overwhelmed with all these different activities. How do you know ahead of time what you're going to be involved in the next fall, in the next school year?
A lot of programs at school, you're in for a few years, so you know. I already know what I would have been doing in the way of extracurricular activities as a senior when I was a sophomore and a junior, because it doesn't change much, and since the application is so early and. The youth and governance is likely to be the first new thing you signed up for. You know, so if more stuff comes on your plate around September when school's starting again, you're already in youth and governance, so I think it's easier to keep on busy.
I would argue, because at Indian Trail we've had four different schedules in the last 4 years, because we've ended at 2:30, now we finish at 3, and then we had every other day block scheduling, and now it's like 8 periods. And our school's under construction, now it's not, but then they're doing extension, so you have fire drills every other day. So your life at Indian Trail is very hectic, and you never know what's coming. Because I'm an officer from NHS at my school, and we have one meeting every few weeks and stuff, and then our teachers will come and ask us, like, all right, you need a meeting tomorrow. Because the teachers as well don't have their schedules. So
will that get resolved as Indian Trail evolves?
I'm leaving next year.
She doesn't.
So it is resolved, right?
No,
for me.
No.
Thanks,
Isabella. I mean, I agree with you.
Eventually.
It was, it was academy and it's high school and construction. So, but now that's all squared away. Now, if they go back from the eight class back to block for somebody, then but that isn't.
I would just like to say something. Because the application is in the spring, you kind of know where you're going to be. Because I remember there was that my sophomore year, or my junior year, I was a part of a key club, but at the end of the year I knew that I was too busy for it. So then that opened up another time for youth and government. So I guess just like once you start out your freshman year, you kind of know what your place in the school is. So I remember that I was going to do youth and governance, and then I would also focus on student government along with Bianca. Me and her serve on the exec board together.
It's a lot more work than I can count for.
Yeah, so honestly, I think that with youth and governance, that because you, as you apply, you laid it out that you would have to attend meetings. And then I also checked on the website, because the meeting schedule was up from the previous year, that you guys, when you guys meet, how often you meet, and like where you guys meet. So I knew that what I was getting into before I applied.
I guess I'm the odd one here, because I have not stayed the same track and the same extracurriculars from all 4 years. I have bounced around from this and that and everything. So I guess I just like figure out a way to make time for everything. There were days this summer where I was running from our exec board meetings in the middle of the day to here straight from that, and tennis right before that. So I guess I just kind of like I have to make time. I kind of like push other things aside or like.
is prioritized.
Yeah.
That's the real world.
That is.
So I didn't, like, they're like, oh, we knew what we were doing. Like, at the beginning of this year, I did not know I was going to be involved in National Honor Society, or I was kind of iffy about becoming a member of the exec board. But I did, and so now here I am. And just, I guess I'm learning. This has taught me time management, how to juggle, and how, all right, this hour is to do math homework, this hour is to do science, then I use the governance, then when I get home, I'm going to work on this.
So having the meeting, or having the interviews and picking in April works out well for you, it seems to you that it works out well for you guys to plan ahead for your next year's scheduling. Mm-hmm. On the same line with the attendance, so it's April, correct, is when the new ones are sworn in?
May.
Okay, so December, January, February, March, April. So that's five. So we're 7 months in November. So we're pretty much halfway through. So is November halfway through? Is November a good time to be judging?
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, it's November 1st.
Right.
Right.